It's so good to be back here. You guys just sound fantastic this morning, so praise God for that. It's just a good place to be this morning. My name is Trevor Kaufman, and I am the campus pastor here at South Creek. As Danielle said earlier, we are a campus of Revive Wesleyan, and if you have maybe just visited either today or the last couple weeks, you might not know that I'm the campus pastor because I haven't actually been here for a few weeks. 3 weeks ago, we were all at the McKinley campus for our Heart Check celebration service. That was a great time to be together. And then the week after that, I was on vacation with my wife and some friends, and we went to the Indianapolis 500. I would highly recommend going to that. It is the most overwhelmingly indescribable event that you could ever imagine or conjure up in your imagination. It's unreal. But we're not here to talk about that. But it's incredible, and you should put it on your bucket list if you haven't been there. And then last week, I was on a motorcycle trip with six other guys. We rode to the coast of Maine to Acadia National Park and back 1,600 miles. It was a really good trip. We do this every June, and it was just very life-giving for me. I've said many times that I enjoy being in nature. That's really how I connect with God, and it was just a time for me to do that. So I'm back, and we're continuing this series, Road Trip, which is essentially what I've been on the last two weekends, one to Indianapolis and one to Maine, both opposite ends of the country. So it was great to do that, great to be a part of that, and so now I get to come back and sort of continue this series that Sean started for us last week as we are talking about sanctification. You're probably thinking, that word sounds terrible and boring. I don't want to have anything to do with it. So we're putting an analogy with it to help kind of make you understand it a little bit more, and we're going to discuss that further this morning. And so when it comes to road trips, I do love road trips. I think Sean admitted last week that he does not so much enjoy them, but that's okay because it still works for what we're talking about today. And our family has gone all over the country. In fact, I'll show you some pictures on week four, so make sure you keep coming back, and I'll explain some of our adventures then. But for the sake of today, I'm just going to kind of overall generalize the fact that we love to go on road trips. We've been all over the place, and oftentimes when we're in the van on a road trip, our kids are doing all sorts of different things, whether they're scrolling on social media, they're playing video games. They used to read books, but now I gotta like really kind of push them into doing that now. And oftentimes we encourage them to actually have a conversation with one another. And oftentimes my wife and I will find ourselves in conversation about work, about church life. We both work here, so it's just sort of kind of natural for us to talk about that, or family life, or what it is we're going to do when we get to the destination we're traveling to, or if we're coming back from that destination, often our topic of conversation is, what are we going to do next? And we start to plan our next vacation, oftentimes still on the road from our previous one or the one we're currently on. So we love traveling, and oftentimes we always find ourselves in conversation. And so this morning, we're going to look at five conversation points, five talking points when it comes to this idea of sanctification. Now, you may be visiting with us this morning. You may be thinking to yourself, I'm not even sure I understand what this whole Christianity thing is about. I'm not even sure if I'm interested in it. Why would I want to kind of sit here and listen to you talk to me about all these theological words? Well, here's what we're going to do this morning is I want to align what we're talking about this morning with this. We're just going to simply answer at the same time, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to actually be a follower of Jesus? We can answer that with these five talking points that we're going to look at this morning. Now, we're using the word sanctification because, as Sean mentioned last week, oftentimes we sort of shy away from it because it's such a big word. But it's a part of the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And so last week, Sean walked you through this road trip analogy, and so we're not going to walk through that today, but I would encourage you to go back and listen to or watch the message online, and you can fill these blanks in, or you can come find us afterwards, and I'll give you the answers to it. But on the other side of that is a reading plan in which you can follow along throughout this month in which we're in this journey, and so either way, you want to have one of these, and you can pick them up on the high top tables on the way out after service if you haven't already grabbed one. So we're going to look at five talking points. Again, what does it mean to be a Christian? What is sanctification? It's these five talking points. It boils it down to this, so it kind of makes it a little bit more simple. So first, what is it? Sanctification. It's about Jesus. Shocker. It's about Jesus. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, it's about him. It's about Jesus. First and foremost, as simple as that sounds, it's about him. And so we see Jesus clearly state this in Scripture. Now, also, we usually find ourselves in one Scripture throughout a message, but today, because of the topic of conversation, we'll be in a few different Scriptures. The next 2 weeks, we'll be sticking specifically with one or two Scriptures as we continue through the messages. But in John 14, 6, Jesus says this, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So if Jesus is the only way to the Father, and if Jesus demonstrated what sanctification looks like better than anybody else on earth, Jesus should be the center of our conversation when we're talking about sanctification or when we're talking about Christianity in general. And you may think, well, that seems sort of obvious. Of course that would be the case. But here's what often happens. We often find ourselves, even in Christian circles, and I find myself in these conversations or I watch them online take place, people start to just nitpick and dive into different things that often just come down to somebody's personal preference when it comes to maybe a worship style or a preaching style or what an environment looks like in worship, and people can get into arguments all over those things and completely forget about the fact that it's all about Jesus, and they find themselves in division and arguments over things that aren't necessarily about Jesus. Or we get so caught up in different aspects of even Scripture, and we're just like, yes, God created the heavens and the earth, but was it really 6 days, or was it like was it 6,000? What did that really mean? And we find ourselves in these unending, unessential arguments over these things. Or yes, Jesus is going to come back again and make all things right. And so what is it gonna look like? How is it gonna happen? When's it gonna happen? And we start to like get in arguments over these things and we lose focus on it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the best example, the best advertisement, and the best resource for Christianity because he is the source of it. Now, interesting side note, this journey that we're talking about, Jesus himself didn't actually experience the journey because from the beginning of time, he has been and always has been God, and into eternity, he is and always will be God in absolute perfect form. So this journey that you and I experience each and every day becoming more and more like Jesus is not something that he necessarily had to experience because he already was and is perfect. And so he is the best example to focus on, and he is what we should be centering our conversations around. So Christianity in general, being a follower of Jesus, sanctification, it's about Jesus. But then it goes beyond that. Our second talking point is this. It's about being like Jesus. It's about being like Jesus. I'm sure we've all maybe heard that phrase, fire insurance, where you know, somebody says a prayer and they're like, yes, I believe that Jesus is God and that's good. And now I can just go on my way and continue living my life the way I was because he's forgiven my sins and I can do whatever I want. But I'm freed from the bondage of hell. That's not what Jesus wants from us. He wants so much more than that. Jesus wants us to experience a life that displays growth and change and actual fruit, which we're going to actually talk about next week. The kingdom of God begins here and now. And we talked about this in our Lenten season, the weeks leading up to Easter. The fact that we can experience pieces and parts and tastes of heaven here on earth right now as we become closer and closer to him each and every day, as we become more and more like him each and every day. And so we're doing a huge disservice to individuals when we communicate to them that once you say the prayer of salvation, that you can just continue doing whatever you want. It's about Jesus, but it's also about being like Jesus. And he clearly communicates this in Scripture. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, known as the Great Commission, his like final words he gives those of us to continue living after he ascends into heaven. He says this, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So again, there's far more than simply acknowledging Jesus is God. There's far more to our life that we can experience, that we get to experience. And so we're not really sitting too heavily in our road trip analogy this morning, other than the fact that we have conversations during road trips. But if we sort of snap back into that analogy for a minute, it would be like the idea of acknowledging that Jesus is Lord and then continuing to live your life as you always have been would be like getting in the van to go on a road trip or the vehicle of your choice, whatever that may be, and you just sit there. You just sit there. You don't ever put the thing into drive. You don't ever get onto the highway. You don't ever go anywhere. You just safely sit in your vehicle. You've acknowledged that Jesus is God, that you have acknowledged that Jesus died for your sins, but you have not released anything of your life to him. You've not given him control over your life. And so at that point, you just sit safely on the side of the road and go nowhere. It's about being like Jesus. It's about moving forward. It's about becoming more and more like him each and every day. So if we allow ourselves, our friends, our family members, other people in the church to simply enter into this vehicle, but we don't equip them how to move forward through discipleship, which we'll come back to. Discipleship is just essentially training to be like Jesus, and hopefully we can take other people along with us as well. We'll talk about that a bit more in week four. They'll just be safely sitting in the car and never actually enter the highway and begin this journey that we're talking about that God wants us to experience. And so, Christianity in general, sanctification, it's about Jesus. It's about being like Jesus. And thirdly, and this one's huge, it's a relationship. It's a relationship. One of my favorite aspects of this church specifically, of Revive, is our heart check campaign that we do each and every May. And we just finished it, obviously, a few weeks ago, and so we're into that now, and we're excited to see how that is. But what that is where we internally check our hearts to see how it aligns with the heart of God. And we do that largely through partnerships in our community outside the walls of the church. So we have partnerships locally here. One of our main partners is Operation Good Neighbor across the street. We have partners in the city of Buffalo, and we have partners all across the world. And we come alongside them in relationship. Yes, we contribute finances to them. We help them. We help fund their projects and their ministries. But it's so much more than that. We have a phrase that we use around here at Revive that is this. We want our interactions in our relationships to be transformational rather than transactional. Transformational rather than transactional. We don't want to just write a check and just forget about what's taking place. We want to be engaged in what's going on in the ministries, both in the church, but also outside of the church as well. Because that's when we see the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's when we see the truth of who Jesus is actually start to come alive. Because it's not just about writing a check, but it's about engaging intentionally in partnership with them. So either we volunteer with them or we even just simply pray for them. It's huge. But it's all about relationship. If we go back to the Great Commission that I just read, we see this word disciple, to disciple others. And this comes with trust. The relationships that we have with our partner ministries outside the walls of this church have been built on trust. We trust them to do, with the resources we have, what they say they're going to do. We trust that if we engage in partnership with them, if we go over there, we will be safe, we will be led, we will be guided by the power of the Holy Spirit to do powerful and profound things. There's trust involved. Hopefully there is a trust level involved with the people that you are encountering each and every day. And sometimes trust takes time. It takes repetition. Jesus had to build trust with his disciples over and over and over again. He had to say the same thing over and over and over again. He had to demonstrate the same thing over and over and over again. And finally they began to trust him more and more. And hopefully for you this morning, you are able to look into Scripture and see the fact that God, Jesus Christ, he's trustworthy. You can trust him. You can look back in your life and see how he's worked and how he's moved. And maybe this morning you're not in a relationship with him yet, and you're still looking for moments to trust him. And my prayer and my hope for you is to be open and receptive to the fact that he wants to be in a relationship with you. It's not just about a book of rules and regulations of what you can and can't do. It's a relationship. And we'll dive a little deeper as we continue. As trust is established, the relationships that we are a part of and our relationship with Jesus Christ himself will flourish. And we need to remember that when we're talking about sanctification and ultimately when we're talking about what it means to be a Christian. So it's about Jesus. It's about being like Jesus. It's about a relationship. And fourthly, it's personal, but not individual. This is similar to what we just talked about, but let me go a little further with it. It's personal, but not individual. We're going to talk a little bit more about this in week 4 as well, so make sure you keep coming back to these series as they all kind of work together a little bit. But I'm always intrigued by how many people say that they don't really need to be a part of a church to be a Christian. And partially, they're right. I mean, the requisite to be a follower of Jesus is to simply confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord of your life. But there's so much more available to us when we live that out in community with other people. And we're doing that this morning right here. There's so much more to being saved than just acknowledging who Jesus is. We've already sort of identified that reality. As we come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we are continuing to experience his grace through our journey towards and through him. And we do that in community. And we see the very early first church in Scripture demonstrate this beautifully as a beautiful example of how we should be living our lives in community. Yes, we are in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but that is meant to be lived out with other people. We have accountability with other people. We have encouragement with other people. We have wisdom and guidance given to us from other people. And we experience that, yes, here, but even in other ways, which I'll get to in just a minute. But before I do, let me read Acts 2, starting in verse 42, in which we see the early church live this out. It says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, which we are going to partake in just a minute. Verse 46 goes on to say, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. These early Christians lived life together. And because of it, they carried the burdens of one another, and more individuals were led to the Lord because of it. There's power in community. This is a beautiful display of the fact that sanctification, living a Christian life, is not meant to be lived in isolation. It's not meant to be lived in isolation. Yes, it occurs in each of us individually, but we are then called to live it out in community. So, one of the things that we have around here at Revive is what we call community groups. And there's also Bible studies that take place. Essentially, any group of people, smaller groups of people, around 8 to 10 individuals, get together and dive into Scripture, pray for one another, live life together. I've been a part of a group of guys like this for the last 15 years. It has been life-changing for me. I receive accountability from them. I receive prayer from them. Two of the guys in that group that I meet with on a regular basis were on that motorcycle trip with me last weekend. It's unreal how much power there is in being with other people outside the walls of the church and outside the walls of your home. It's amazing to see how God wants to work in and through you and others. And so if you are interested in being a part of a community group here at Revive, there's a couple of different things you can do. The first is you can just simply text the word group to the church number. It'll be right there. You can just text group to that number. You'll go into our system and it'll be designated by campus, and I'll be able to reach out to you. So we are looking at, over the next few months, putting more intentionality and resources into our community group ministries. So we don't have it fully laid out yet, but it's going to continue through the summer, and then we're actually going to speak on it in the fall, which I'll get to in just a second. But we want you to be a part of some sort of a group. I can't tell you how much you'll get out of it. I'm a part of a couples group here that meets at South Creek as well, and it's just been incredible to see these relationships flourish and us to be able to work together and bounce things off of each other and sharpen each other It's powerful. You want to be a part of that. But now, in order for us to be able to have more and more community groups, we actually need leaders as well. If you're interested in leading a community group, you can text the word lead to that same number. And we'll get back to you. There will be some leadership training meetings in the fall or even at the end of the summer that we'll make sure you're aware of. We don't want to leave you floundering in deep water. We want to make sure you're equipped. And really, leading a group is essentially just, it's really just facilitating a conversation. You don't have to know a bunch of stuff. You don't have to be like super smart and theological. It doesn't have to be like that. It's just being able to get some people together and have a conversation. That's what we want these community groups to be. Just times in which you can share life together. We have a prayer team that meets on Wednesday night. We have different Bible studies and community groups that meet throughout the week. A men's group that meets Tuesday nights. Women's Bible studies that meet on Thursdays. I think a lot of those are taking breaks for the summer, but you'll be able to fill these things out, send those texts in, and we will try and plug you in the best that we can. We want you to be a part of a community. It's huge. And that is a beautiful way in which we can be discipled or trained to become more like Jesus. Now, disciple making is one of our values. In the fall of last year, we did an entire series on our 7 values as a church. Now, interestingly enough, in the scripture we just read, we see all 7 of those values lived out, which is encouraging because I would hope that we get our values from scripture. But we see it lived out in the early church. So we see, as we read through that scripture that I just read, as the early church met together and shared life together, we see the fact that they valued scripture. Scripture's our first value. They valued scripture in the apostles' teaching. They prayed daily for one another, our second value. Our third value, they worshiped as a gathering of believers. Our fourth value, the one that we just spent some significant time on, disciples were made through them, our value of disciple making. Radical generosity was on display as they shared their resources with each other. In sharing food, they demonstrated hospitality. And in the daily addition to their numbers, we see them engage in outreach. So our 7 values, scripture, prayer, worship, disciple making, generosity, hospitality, and outreach, this is really what we birth our ministries out and everything that we do around here. We want to have those as a part of that. Our mission here is to pursue the Father, proclaim Jesus, and participate with the Holy Spirit. If we do that, we will see our vision executed to be an undeniable force of God's hope, healing, and grace impacting generations to come. We don't talk about that one as often, but if we're doing the mission, we'll see that take place. And then underneath all of that are these 7 values. So, again, what does it mean to be a Christian? This idea of sanctification, it's about Jesus. It's about being like Jesus. It's a relationship. It's personal, but it's not individual. And lastly, it's all about love. Love. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is wrapped up in one word. Love. Jesus clearly states this in his Gospels. In Mark 12, he's referencing an Old Testament book, Deuteronomy, in which the entire law of Moses is written out, all 613 laws and rules and regulations. And some religious leaders of the day are asking Jesus, what's the most important of those laws? And Jesus says, listen, it's not about the laws. It's about so much more than that. And he wraps it all up into love. And he quotes this, as this is also in Deuteronomy. In Mark 12, 29, 31, he says this. The most important one answered. The most important thing you can do. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater command than these. They were looking for Jesus to give him some to give some sort of a chart or a scale as to what is the most important, what is the best thing to do, and if you're doing this. He's like, listen, if you just live a life of love, if you love God and you love others, those other things are just naturally going to happen. It comes down to love. And you and I all want to be loved. We don't want to just be known. We don't want to just be associated with. We don't just want to be liked. Everybody in this room has a desire to be loved. The problem is this world has skewed the image of love. A lot of times we get love mixed up with lust. A lot of times we may have a flawed image or reflection of what love looks like because of a broken marriage or a parent who walked out on us or a friend who betrayed us and turned their back on us. There's all sorts of reasons and examples of why love doesn't look right, and love may even trigger a negative emotion in you. But we have to remember the perfect love of Jesus, because back to the first point, it's all about Jesus, and Jesus' display of love is love in absolute perfect form. Because the reality is that none of us actually deserve to be loved. It sounds harsh, but ever since the beginning of time, when humanity chose to do things their own way and allowed sin to enter into this world, there was a separation between God and his creation, you and I. But he loved us so much that despite our mistakes, despite our failures, and despite our flaws, he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to take the punishment and the penalty that we all deserve upon his shoulders so we don't have to. So we can be in right relationship, so we can experience love in its perfect form. And then as we understand that and receive that, the desire that he has for us is that we walk closer to him each and every day than we were the day before. That we start to understand his perfect love, and we don't use the world's examples as a basis for love and a foundation for love, but Jesus Christ as the foundation for love, just like we sang about earlier. Our firm foundation, our unfailing and unchanging foundation of Jesus Christ and the love that he has and he has given for each and every one of us. You see, it's not just about following laws and rules and a list of things that we can't do. I think so many people who haven't fully understood what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ yet think, why in the world would I want to be a part of something that just tells me a bunch of things that I can't do? That just like restricts me from enjoying life. But the reality is you're not getting the full picture, because the things that you think are giving you pleasure and enjoyment do not last. Those pleasures and those enjoyments are only temporary. They lead to nowhere. I can tell you from experience that living a life with Jesus is a life filled with adventure and joy and hope and peace. Yes, there will be moments in life in which I experience struggle and heartache and sadness and grief and confusion and sorrow. These are all parts of life. Jesus never told us that everything was going to be perfect if we followed him, but the problem is that when we don't have him, we have no foundation. There's no foundation beneath us, and it all crumbles, and our world falls apart when things do get challenging. But when we have Jesus Christ in our life, when we understand and receive the love that he has given each and every one of us freely, then when the world falls apart around us, we still have Jesus to stand on, because he never leaves us or forsakes us. He is a good, good God. And he loves us despite our brokenness, despite our flaws, and he wants to be in relationship with us. So, as we talk about this idea of sanctification, this word sanctification, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to follow Jesus? How do we journey towards him each and every day? First and foremost, it's about Jesus. We've said it many times. Again, repetition is good. It's about Jesus. It's about being like Jesus. It is a relationship. It's personal, but not individual, and it's all about love. Sean mentioned last week that as we journey towards a relationship and journey towards acknowledgement of Jesus in our life each and every day, our desires change. And we begin to truly, from the deepest depths of our heart, want to do the things that please him and don't want to do the things that draw us away from him. So again, you may be thinking this morning, but I don't know if I can make this step into a relationship with Jesus because I don't want to give this up. But I'm telling you, through the power of the Holy Spirit in ways that I cannot describe or define, those desires will supernaturally change to align with the way of God. If you're intentional about it and willing to let go, He loves you deeply this morning. This morning, we are going to partake in communion. It's often known as the Eucharist. It's a sacrament. We believe that Jesus is here in this moment as we do this. This is a meal that Jesus celebrated and took with his very own disciples the night that he was betrayed. And we're going to be reminded of that this morning. Our only requirement for communion is that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that you've confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. And you know what? You may still be just stuck on the side of the road. You haven't really made any steps yet, but you're willing to place your faith in Jesus. If that's you, or any stage beyond that in the journey, we invite you to partake in communion. If this is still not something you're sure about, if this is still not something you're ready to surrender your life to or even acknowledge that Jesus is there, it's okay. You can stay seated. You don't have to partake in this. I'm just glad you're here. And I just hope that the power of the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in a profound and real way, and that you're open to hear what he has to say. And so in just a minute, we're gonna partake in this. You're gonna just stand up. Luke's gonna play on the keyboard a little bit and just kind of give us some moments to reflect. And maybe in that moment, you can just think to yourself, you know, I do wanna confess my life, commit my life to Jesus. I know it may be challenging at first to get off the ground, to put the vehicle in the drive, but I know through the power of you, Lord, you can do it. And I'm willing to let you take the reins. And so as we stand, you're just gonna move to your left, come forward, grab the elements, come back the opposite direction, hang on to them, and we'll take them together in just a minute. But be reminded that Jesus died on the cross for you, but he didn't stay dead. He defeated death. So yeah, we may experience a physical death, but we have an eternity of life to look forward to as we share also in his resurrection at the same time. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are. If there are individuals in this room who are still confused and not sure what this even means, I pray that you would just speak to them right now in a way that I can't, in a way that only you can. I'd invite anybody in this room to acknowledge, even maybe for the first time, Lord, that as I do right now, that you're my Savior, that I love you. I know that I am broken, I'm flawed, I'm imperfect, but you love me anyway. I know that I am a sinner, but you love me anyway. And so I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you are Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you, as challenging as it may be. I give it to you in hopes that I can begin to experience eternity even here and now. God, we love you and we praise you. We ask all of this in the very powerful name of Jesus.